You're listening to Sportsnet Today on the official home of your Calgary Flames. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
All right, we are under 1 hour to go to the NHL's 2024 trade deadline. Live coverage continuing here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan, live in the Hot Stove Lounge in the Scotiabank Saddledome. Logan Gordon, Peter Klein, Pat Steinberg along with you. And it's been a pretty busy day. I mean, devoid of massive trades so far.
How dare you? Do we need to go over Elson for Patan again, sir?
Elson, the former Flame, did get moved today. Two of them, in fact. But we've been busy, and as of right now, nothing from the Calgary Flames can tell you. We were, before the break, just breaking down the Jake Allen to New Jersey trade. Can tell you the details on that coming through. It is a conditional third-round pick in 2025 that can become a second based on games played. That number of games played, PK, 40 games between this season and next. If he hits that mark, New Jersey will turn a third into a second for Montreal.
Yeah, that doesn't seem like a large amount of games. Like I would imagine over the next couple of seasons, he hits that. So this is, again, like I said, it's a very good return for Montreal. And for Jake Allen and for the New Jersey Devils, like this is probably going to be Allen's net the rest of the way. We talked about Philadelphia kind of adding a little bit here at the deadline. They're going to be making a push. They're 8 points clear of the Devils. We'll see if that is enough to get this very talented New Jersey team into the postseason. I think New Jersey has a better roster than Philadelphia as of right now, but that hasn't mattered one lick so far. That is a very difficult hill to climb. But the goalie market, outside of the big name in Jacob Markstrom, generally pretty quiet. Like, just traditionally, you don't see a lot of big goalie moves. And so this one, I think, would count as relatively big, given that it could be a second, but not a blockbuster by any means.
We've also got a trade between the Boston Bruins and the Columbus Blue Jackets happening now. Andrew Peak, reportedly acquired by Boston, is a 25-year-old right-shot defenseman with 2 years left on his contract at $2.7 million. Reportedly in exchange for Jacob Zboril, who has been with the Providence Bruins in the AHL for the majority of this season, the former first-round pick, now 27 years old, was 13th overall back in that horrid 2015 draft for the Boston Bruins. And waiting to see if there's anything more in that. But right now, Peak to Boston in exchange for Zboril. And waiver news coming down, very, very busy. William Legison has been claimed by the Anaheim Ducks from the Leafs. Ottawa claims Boris Tkachuk. Tobias Bjornfoot claimed by the Florida Panthers. I believe that's the second time for Bjornfoot. I believe he got claimed by Vegas from L.A. and now joining the Florida Panthers. And that appears to be the majority, I think, right now of the waiver moves right on this Friday. The three there, Bjornfoot, Tkachuk, and Legison claims.
On the waiver front, guys, and just a quick heads up, we'll be hearing from New Flame Daniil Miromanov in just a few minutes. He's going to give us a call, and we'll talk to the main player that came back in the deal for Noah Hanifin with the Vegas Golden Knights. But also between now and 1 o'clock, I'm getting interested to see what Flames players get sent to the American League. So they're on the Wranglers roster before the trade deadline, and thus which players would be eligible for the AHL playoffs. A few interesting notes on that. Was talking to Pike a little earlier. I don't believe Dryden Hunt is able to. He would have to be on waivers yesterday, so I don't think Hunt will be available for them. And that's according to Pike, who's usually pretty pretty accurate on these things.
So yeah, he doesn't get many of those wrong.
I'm gonna take his word for it. I wonder about Coronado. I wonder about Pelche. Coronado's first year in pro. A postseason in the American League, assuming the Flames don't make it, and that's not, I'm not trying to say they're not going to, but
just as backup.
Just as a backup, having Coronado be eligible for the American League playoffs would be really good for his development. And at the same time, Pelche has not played a full season, so I would imagine those two guys get papered to the American League and thus are eligible for the Wranglers playoffs. And I wonder if they do a Walker Dewar. I wonder if they think about one or two other players on top of that. You've only got the four recalls, though, after the deadline. So once you send them down and recall them, you burn a couple of those post-deadline recalls. So might only be two or three when it's all said and done, but that's something to watch now in the next hour as well.
That recall rule is so stupid. Just a note.
I don't really understand the reasoning for
it. Like, I get you don't want to be baseball and there's 40 guys on the roster or anything like that, but...
Well, you still have to be cap compliant, and
yeah.
you still have to worry about all those types of things. So I don't understand why it becomes such an issue. I think part of it is because the cap still exists, but the roster limit goes away after the trade deadline. You don't have to be beholden to the 23-man roster after the deadline. So that might be a part of it, just to, as you said, prevent teams from stockpiling guys who have heaps and heaps of cap space, I guess, but I'm with you. It doesn't really make any sense.
Yeah.
No new names on waivers, by the way, today, according to Frank.
So that's the absolute latest. We're sitting at 52 minutes away from trade deadline 2024. Names like Tyler Toffoli, Jason Zucker, Jake Allen, among some of the bigger names, Pat Maroon, Kyle Okposo, that we've seen move on this Friday, and now we get down to the nitty-gritty of it all, guys, the last hour here before the trade deadline. And as always, you know, the deadline will hit at 1, but generally news continues to trickle in. As long as the, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, Pat, but as long as the call to the league office,
as long as you're in the queue,
yeah, as long as you're in,
like they've got one of those phones, and they'll have a bunch of things on hold, and so as long as you're in the queue before 1 o'clock, you're fine.
And Chris Johnston confirming that Jordan Osterley did clear waivers, along with the three from Carolina and Evan Cormier from the Florida Panthers. So. Busy day. So, yeah, as always, you know, we'll let you know at 1 when it's officially hit, but I can't remember a trade deadline that's come and gone over the last, I don't even know, 10 years where something hasn't trickled in past that 1 o'clock deadline either way.
The post 1 o'clock time is usually the busiest time, where we end up getting like 8-9 trades there, and sometimes there are some of great substance. Like, you get a few like, hey, can we just do this for a seventh? Like, fine. You get some of those, but you do get some that are rather substantial as well. So I would expect that we get a few more, maybe not groundbreaking trades, but I do think it'll be a busy last hour or so here as we approach the deadline and then those calls coming in after.
Let's jump in on the latest move that we've seen. The Bruins jumping in again here in the East. Guys, they are 1 point back of the Florida Panthers for the league lead in the NHL. Pat Maroon was acquired earlier today from the Minnesota Wild. And now, interesting, picking up a defender with some term, PK, and Andrew Peak of the Columbus Blue Jackets. Younger than Zboril.
Yep.
Which appears to be the only return right now that I've seen. It looks like it could be a one-for-one Zboril for Peak, but we'll wait and see. Peaks a right-hand shot, 25 years old, signed up the next two seasons at $7.5 million heading to the Bruins.
Yeah, Zboril hasn't really clicked in Boston, just 76 games since being drafted in that, as we talked about, that 2015 draft class for the Bruins that gets so much focus after that they had three picks in a row. But I think that, like, it's a couple defensemen who kind of, I don't want to say fallen out of favor in their organizations, but we're falling further and further down the depth chart. So hopefully a change of scenery for Zboril and maybe a bit more responsibility out in Columbus might be a good thing. And Peak, I was joking with you guys off the air. I don't know if not being able to crack things in Columbus is the best sign for future success with the Boston Bruins, but they still are very good at unlocking potential, as we've seen time and time and time again. we talked about how bad that 15 draft was, and it doesn't seem to have hindered them much. So this is a quality organization. If they see something, it's one of those where they make that move. It's like, okay, what do they see in this guy now? Where is what we're not seeing and what they are seeing? So I think it's an interesting move for both sides.
And for Boston, as you check out Cap Friendly right now, guys, younger and adding some term to a blue line that's a little bit older right now, but has the likes of Matt Grizzlick, Derek Forbort, and Kevin Shattenkirk all coming off as UFAs this summer. If he can fit into the Boston system as a right-hand shot, yep, maybe on the third pairing there, gives you some cost certainty and a little bit of youth there. Maybe a guy that, you know, fits in well with a Mason Lorai as a left-hand D who we've seen. We saw him in his most recent game up here in Calgary. Looks like a good young defender for the Boston Bruins, and got to turn over the leaf sometimes on some of those older guys. And if you're Boston, I don't mind the price of Zboril.
No,
by any means. It clearly was a guy that, like, I mean, I'm not trying to disparage you. If you're not beating out Kevin Shattenkirk at this point right now, I don't see how you're getting in that lineup.
Yeah, it wasn't working, right?
No.
So, and at 27, again, like, you're not old and washed up at 27. As I get older, I realize this now. But it wasn't working in this organization. So get him into a different spot, a new look, a fresh coat of paint, and maybe something clicks for him. But no, you're right. I think timing-wise, it lines up maybe better for next year for Peak, but there could be something here.
But you're
depth,
not
depth is always important.
And nothing goes off the lineup if you're Boston. Zboril's not even in your lineup anyways.
Yeah, 100%.
So, I mean, that kind of works out really nicely if you're the Boston Bruins. And, you know, keeping up with the arms race that's happened in both conferences, I mean, as you look at it, guys, Florida's obviously added a couple bodies. Boston has. Toronto's added some defenders over the last couple of days. New York's added. Carolina's added. Philly's added. I guess Tampa, really the one team we're still thinking about in the East that hasn't added anything significant in the last little while. But I wonder maybe if this is a year, and Pat, we've talked about this in regards to the Flames, and maybe they're interested in Noah Hanifin. Maybe Tampa's just finding it hard with a lack of assets to make something happen at the deadline.
Well, they've gone. I mean, if you take a look at what they've done over the last number of years, and since they became a team that was in that conversation for Stanley Cups year in, year out. I mean, the amount they've given up for guys like Blake Coleman and Barclay Goodrow and Nick Paul and Brandon Hagel and Tanner Jeannot. I mean, the amount that they have gone out and depleted their coffers of assets and future pieces, it's no surprise, and have been very successful to win back-to-back Stanley Cups. You've got your banners, and so you'll do all those things again for the most part, but, you know, it does deplete you, and that is one of the big reasons why we haven't seen Tampa Bay go out and make a number of moves, even with the LTIR room they have with Sergachev being on the shelf. I mean, they clearly, and you watch that game they played against the Flames last night, they clearly need another defenseman. There is no doubt about it, but I just don't know what type of assets they have to move out.
A third for Duclair's happened.
That's right. They did make the move mid-game last night.
Yeah, yes, mid-game they did make a move, but, I mean, I don't know. Forward depth wasn't really where I was thinking Tampa was lacking.
No, I wasn't questioning their forward depth when they gave up six last night.
No, that wasn't where I was like, yeah, they could definitely use a bump, but, I mean, no pick until the fifth round this year. No first next year. You have 3 sevenths the next two drafts. So, I mean, Pavel Datsyuk, come on down, 2.0, right?
I was going to say, knowing them, that one of those is going to be some Russian kid we've never heard of who's going to score 40 in 2 years.
So there's that. But, I mean, like, as Pat mentioned, what do you have to move around here?
Yeah. Well, that was always the conversation around Hanifin, right? Like, the reports that was his preferred destination and all of those things. It's like, okay, you prefer it all you want. There isn't a whole lot there, whether it's draft capital or, like, top prospects coming up, right? Like, they didn't have those sorts of players that really lined up with what the Flames were looking for, or what some of these other teams could be looking for here with about 40 minutes left till deadline time now.
We've seen a similar trend in the West, of teams in playoff spots loading up, and it's interesting because, you know, like I mentioned, Boston's a point back of Florida, Vancouver's at the same amount of points as Boston, so I don't know if there's that clear cut, like, this is the only Stanley Cup contender.
No.
I feel like if you're any of the division teams, maybe even if you're in a wild card spot, you're thinking, I don't mind our chances this year compared to others. There's no real – I mean, the Avalanche could turn into another juggernaut here with some of the moves they've made, but Winnipeg loaded up. Tanev's in Dallas right now. We know about the Vancouver moves. Edmonton's made their additions. Nashville's been busy. We still don't know what Vegas is going to do, and we're going to monitor that, guys, over the next 45 minutes here because that has an impact on the Calgary Flames' return for Noah Hanifin. If nothing gets done for Vegas in the next 45 minutes, it'll be a 2025 first-round pick coming to Calgary. So something to watch for there.
That's the first time we've ever seen that condition, right?
I've never seen that.
I can't remember that in any sport.
I've seen games played. I've seen seen the team result one before as far as playoffs.
Yeah, like if top 10 protected pick, and if that doesn't pan out, then it just moves on to next year's pick. But I've never seen, if we decide to trade it, I've never seen that before.
If we still have it, it's yours. Yeah. But if we don't...
I didn't even know that was an option. Which, good on the Flames and Golden Knights for just adding another condition that we can think about going forward.
After that conditional pick to Montreal, I'm assuming the Flames know every condition you can put on a draft pick. So it's very clear Calgary can get creative with some of those. But I think another thing that's really interesting about all of this is, like you said, there isn't that clear team that is like the Stanley Cup favorite. Like, I think of the 16 teams going into the postseason, honestly, probably 12 of them, I wouldn't be stunned if they ended up winning the Stanley Cup. So there isn't that one team that everyone's chasing. But also, so many of the quote-unquote sellers, they would have kind of sold all of the good stuff last year because everyone was trying to bottom out for Connor Bedard, right? So there aren't those bad teams that have the Timo Meyers and all of that going into this year. So that's why I think you see a team like Calgary, and obviously there have been circumstances with the contracts and all of that, but a team like Calgary, 6 points out of a playoff spot, deciding like, okay, well, it's time to go in that direction. So it can be a bit more difficult for some of these teams to go and make some of those moves because, like, Chicago emptied everything last year. San Jose basically did the same, right? So there aren't as many of those big options from the sellers either in this year's deadline period.
As we sit here with just over 40 minutes left to go, is there a name or names out there you guys are surprised hasn't moved yet?
Ooh.
Like, we've scoured trade boards for a while now.
Yeah.
And we've had to take names off every single day, but I'm curious if there's one or two names out there you're going, really, he still hasn't been moved yet.
I would say Buchnevich with St. Louis. Like, just the Blues in general, they're kind of stuck in this middle right now. And they won their cup a little bit ago, and now they're trying to bridge the gap between a couple of eras. So that makes it a little bit difficult. But I am surprised that we haven't seen anything from the Blues, and Buchnevich would be the number one target that's likely available from them. So that would be the name that I would go to first.
I'm curious to see whether or not Chychrun moves again. I was a little surprised that Eberle didn't end up moving, but they've re-signed him in Seattle.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's anybody else that I really point now that Toffoli's gone.
Dumba, maybe?
Has Vetrano moved yet? Vetrano would be one that seems like an easy guy that would fit in most spots. So Vetrano and I'm curious, Buchnevich was the one that came to my mind first as well, Kleiner, and understandably so. The Blues are asking for a high return on that, so maybe it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
But he's one that I'd be really interested in. I thought a Winnipeg fit for Buchnevich would have been really interesting. Obviously, probably not going to happen now that they've acquired Tyler Toffoli, but I thought Buchnevich in Winnipeg would have been a really interesting fit.
I saw some stuff linking him to Edmonton, and that terrified me. I think the world of that dude. And as we talked about, like the defensive market, I am surprised nothing on Dumba so far. That's one that we could see here in the next little bit, but talking about Tampa Bay, We said they don't have a lot of assets to be moving, but I don't know if a rental of Dumba is going to require a ton. So that one, that could be one that still ends up a bit more in their price range over the next little bit.
I'm looking at it right now, guys, and I'm a bit surprised with the number of UFAs on them, on that roster, that San Jose hasn't done more, especially, you know, some of the guys in that.
What's there?
LeBanc, Hoffman... Barabanov is a name that's kind of been thrown out a bit. You know, I guess Justin Bailey, Ryan Carpenter, UFAs. Yeah, is right. Kaapo Kähkönen's a goaltender.
He definitely is.
That's a name.
He's a player.
Yeah. LeBanc
has two goals this year.
Oh, gee. Really?
Yeah.
They've also retained salary on two guys already with Burns and Carlson. So they maybe don't have the same flexibility. Like 4.7 or what would that be? 2.35 per goal for LeBanc might be a bit steep for some people. Same with Hoffman, but so maybe that is kind of limiting things for them a little bit. Those are the types of moves that we could see here in the next half hour or so, right? Where teams are just looking for depth and it's like, yeah, I've heard of Barabanov before. Sure, come on in. And we could do something along with that.
Like Zadina is one that I'd be interested in. Could they get something for a guy they essentially got for free? And he's been decently productive for them so far. So he'd be one I'd be interested in. But there's not a lot there.
It's so tough to look at production on that team, though, right? Because
they're so bad.
That's what I mean, too. It's like, I mean, if I was in desperate need of some scoring help and it didn't cost me anything, I mean, maybe I could squint at a Mike Hoffman who at one point flirted with 40 goals. But again, you're right, Pat. I mean, $4.5 million. I just for a team in their spot, you know what I mean? With UFAs and nothing but assets to need to add to this group going forward, I just wonder if that's not a team that just says, look, we're going to try to get whatever we can.
Yeah,
for some of these guys down the stretch here. Because their season,
there's 40 minutes left. Send me your best offer.
Yeah, their season was over 10 games in.
Yeah, but
literally, I'm trying to stretch that, like literally until they beat the Oilers. I think their entire season was over at that point. They were losing 10-0 to teams, and I think you do make a good point, Pete, that it's hard to look at production on that team and say, you know, well, he's only got X amount of goals, you know, because no one does.
Yeah,
like nobody on that team's got anything, like. And talk about a long rebuild. Like, what is Tomas Hertl thinking right now?
He knew where this was going. I have zero sympathy.
Money.
He knew where this was going. San Jose knew where this was going. Everybody was talking about this last season as Hertl was making his decision. Was that last season or two seasons ago? Regardless, everybody knew where this thing was going, and he still made his decision to sign there. So I have no sympathy for Mr. Hertl.
No, and look, I mean, there are worse places to play hockey and make $8 million a season than San Jose, California. And you have literally no pressure on you.
Yeah, that is accurate.
And, I mean, we talk about and we think about every major athlete, you know, wanting to be the peak of competitive spirit and, you know, dying to win every night. But, I mean, some of the people, as we've mentioned and we've learned, guys, it's a job.
Their goal differential is minus 112.
That's actually not as bad as I thought it would be.
Man.
That's actually not as bad as I thought it would be.
Next worst is Chicago at minus 95. Next worst is Anaheim at minus 53.
And they still have two more years of Burns and four more years of Carlson on their cap.
It's going to be a while before they're good again, hey?
Oh, they have to hit on every high pick they get here.
Yeah.
Like, I'm trying to think of the American kid they drafted.
Like, they have
Will Smith. Like, you're going to need to be somebody.
They have two
really
firsts.
Soon.
They have two firsts this year and two seconds. But then after that, like, it's not like they traded a bunch of guys and loaded up on draft capital and are now going through this. Like, they kind of tried to hang on for dear life to an era that was probably gone 2 years before they were willing to admit it. And I think are now really paying the price for it.
I was going to say, if he wasn't hurt, could you move Logan Couture? But probably not.
Probably not. At that price tag, probably
for
not.
For three more years at $8
million? Yeah.
You're not moving that guy.
No.
Unless someone takes 50, and it's at, what, $4 million for the next 3 years? And
still,
even then, he's 34.
Asking someone to do that for 3 years is asking a little. Like, you would have to give up, I think, something substantial for a team to be the third man in on that.
I'll be curious What?
I wasn't anticipating dumping on the Sharks, but
well, I was just I was you look literally at it and just like, curious as to, you know, who's still out there for teams that are going to make a move in the next half hour plus as we get down to it. And you're right, Klein, looking at how many draft picks they don't have compared to some of the other bottom feeding teams.
Right.
Like, you'd think you'd be trying to move anybody and anything to get anything for the future, right?
Yeah.
Or you'd hope so.
No, absolutely.
Maybe it just doesn't exist with some of these guys.
Yeah, you would think you'd be able to get, like, something for some of them. But, again, like, has it been so bad there that it's just tanked the value on some of these players? Like, I don't think you're getting anyone to eat all 4.7 of LeBanc for sure, right? And then even if you do eat 50% of it, are you getting like a fifth? Like they have nothing. This sounds really harsh. They just have nothing of value there. It is. I didn't realize how bad it was out in San Jose, but that is a rough spot right now.
This text comes in at 960-960. Says calling San Jose. Yes. What do you want for Pat Faloon? Wait. What do you mean he's retired? Oh, yes. That's right. It's been a while in San Jose. Remember those days? Remember the Thornton and Marlowe and
yeah.
Pavelski? That's where it turned bad for me in San Jose, the Pavelski move.
Yeah, once he was gone.
Was a massive, massive misplay by that group because they thought he was done.
Yeah.
And he went to Dallas and was like, I'm not done.
No.
And I can be really affordable. And it would have been really affordable to stick around.
And look at all these young players who I'm helping to improve.
Exactly. Right? And
he'd be the best player on the Sharks right now.
Well, and who knows what it would have changed, right? Yeah. Like how guys would have looked at that organization differently.
Yeah.
And he's one of those guys that's been like, hey, I've made my money in the NHL. I still want to get paid a fair amount, but I'm not going to break the bank.
Yeah.
And now he's just killing it for the Stars. And it's like, man. Did that ever feel like a reason why Doug Wilson's not the GM in San Jose anymore? Because you massively misunderestimated what was left in Joe Pavelski.
Well, and they just got nothing for any of those guys, right? Like, they got very lucky that Erik Karlsson found his groove again, and they were able to spin that off into literally anything to the Penguins.
Yeah.
Who,
and that could be a decent pick.
Yeah, no kidding, hey? So I don't know if they are, like, I don't know if Pittsburgh's singing and dancing that they pulled that one off. So at least they got something for that. But it was, they tried to hold on for too long in San Jose, and now they are very, very aggressively taking it in the teeth now.
Just about the half-hour mark away from the NHL's trade deadline, 2024 edition coming up at 1 p.m. Mountain. It's Logan Gordon, Peter Klein, and Pat Steinberg along with you. Live coverage continuing all day here at the Scotiabank Saddledome, brought to you by our four great sponsors. One of them, All Kind Door Services, your go-to service company for the last 35 years, offering 24-hour emergency service for all your door repairs, anything that swings, slides, or rolls. Call 403-266-1411. When we come back, we'll join in live on the final segment ahead of the NHL's trade deadline coming down to it. Anything and everything as the trade deadline approaches. Continued coverage next here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
You're listening to Sportsnet Today on the official home of your Calgary Flames. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Into the final stretch ahead of the 1 p.m. Mountain Time NHL trade deadline 2024. Live coverage continuing here from the Scotiabank Saddledome. Logan Gordon, Peter Klein, Pat Steinberg along with you. Nothing crazy the last hour here or so as we're approaching cutoff day. I guess cutoff time.
And day two. That works.
This afternoon. Getting more details on some of the trades that have happened recently. You can add a third-round pick, PK, to Columbus as part of the Zboril Peak trade, I believe.
Yeah, it's a Blue Jackets third and Zboril for Peak, which I think, not that a third-round pick is a game-changer, but I think it drastically changes this trade a little bit. That now seems like a bit of an overspend to me from from that standpoint, but I guess, fine, whatever, go for it. It's a 27 third, for what it's worth.
It's not quite the NBA, when it comes to trading future picks, but you're getting there.
Yeah.
27's a little bit down the road, right? We haven't had the 24 draft yet.
The Canadian Hockey League is still the gold standard for that, where draft picks for the 2055 season get traded all the time. That is always my absolute favorite. Like the kid who you're picking with that pick is like 6 right now. But yeah, we're getting there a little bit, and I don't mind it. Get flexible, get creative, do some of these things.
Again, quick reminder, deals will trickle in past 1 o'clock. We'll continue to be live here on Sportsnet 960 throughout the afternoon. Whether anything happens before then or afterwards, just make sure you keep it locked right here on Sportsnet 960, Pat.
We are about ready to hook up with one of the newest members of the Calgary Flames. We're just giving Daniil a call right now, and we do indeed have him. So as we are a little bit more than 20 minutes away from the 2024 trade deadline on this Friday, March 8th, very happy to welcome in our next guest. He is the newest member, or one of the newest members, of the Calgary Flames, acquired in Wednesday's deal with the Vegas Golden Knights. Daniil Miromanov, Flames defenseman, joins us on the program right now. Daniil, it's Pat. Really appreciate the time today. How we doing? How's it going so far today?
Hey, Pat. I appreciate you for having me. Thanks so much. It's been really good at a first practice with the guys and meet everyone, and I'm super stoked, super excited, and I'm just just grateful to be with the team.
That's awesome. How was the first practice?
It was great. It was pretty short, 15 minutes. I mean, the guys played last night, so it was great. I ran a few drills. It's awesome. Great atmosphere. Guys are, having fun, and it's just really nice to be around everyone.
Does it feel like a group that is smack dab in the middle of a playoff race right now?
100%, yeah, and there's a lot of potential on this team.
So I guess take us back to Wednesday and your reaction when you found out about the trade.
I was happy. I kind of sensed that was happening. I'm grateful that that both sides, that the Flames were super excited, and the Golden Knights organization, Kelly McCrean, was able to move me and give me a chance at playing. And I'm just been a long couple of days, but I'm here with the team, and feel really good, feel excited.
How come you were so happy? How come so excited when you heard the news?
The Vegas team was super stacked, and we all know the decor in Vegas, and I really loved the time in Vegas, but I honestly never really had an opportunity to fully play and really had a spot to showcase myself and what really I can do. So I just was just working really hard, waiting for my chance, waiting for the opportunity, and I was just super happy that I will have that chance, and I'm more than happy that we were able to secure the extension right away. The Flames organization, the management, were really excited, and I was more than excited. So this is an amazing opportunity for me, and I was waiting for this opportunity for 3 years, and I'm just really happy, and I'm just ready to show myself.
You talk about the opportunity. It does feel like there's some NHL playing time to be earned here, doesn't it?
Of course, yeah, 100%. There's nobody's guaranteed. Nobody's cemented. So every single day you got to prove. Every single day you got to work. So that's how it is. That's NHL. It's hard to be in the NHL. It's a competitive world.
You talk about signing the contract extension. How much more comfortable does that make you, knowing that you're coming to a new team, but also know that you're going to be here for a couple more years afterwards?
It feels amazing. Not necessarily a relief, but it's good on the mental side. That organization have a trust in you by giving you an extension, and you have the time to become the best version of yourself, and you know, to keep developing every single day. You know, keep proving, you know, that you're worth it on a daily basis. That's what it's all about.
We are chatting with Daniil Miromanov. He is one of the newest members of the Calgary Flames. He joined the team on Wednesday, had his first practice with the team on this Friday in Sunrise, and Flames get ready to take on the Florida Panthers on Saturday afternoon. Joining us here, Pat Steinberg and Logan Gordon along with you, Logan.
Daniil, Logan here. Welcome to Calgary, man. I'm just curious. I know you suffered a pretty big injury last season, and you've been working your way back. How have you felt in the recovery process, and how has it been getting back to game action?
Hey, Logan. It's been great. You know, it takes a lot of time, takes a lot of discipline, you know, fortitude. You develop a lot of mental toughness, that you can say, and you're going through stuff like that. And it was there, you know, usually for a good reason, you know, to shape you. You know, those hardships, they shape you. You know, you develop all those skills that will help you, you know, succeed and will stay with you for the rest of your life. So, it was a long road. But, you know, I was always taking it day by day, trying to get better on a daily basis. And, you know, I feel better than I was before. And, you know, I feel top shape and just feel ready to go. So, I feel like that's the, you know, with those types of injuries, with the lung and, you know, major injuries and surgeries, I feel like it's the, you know, that's the thing. It's, you know, you have to be better after, you know, it happens for you to get better. So, you know, you have to look at that, you know, from that perspective.
It's great to hear that you're feeling better. I'm curious for the listeners here in Calgary who maybe haven't seen as much of your game. We've heard a lot about your offensive skill set, but how would you sort of describe your playing style to somebody that hasn't seen you play yet?
I feel like I'm, you know, puck moving, shooting, you know, offensive side defenseman. I, you know, try to take pride, you know, playing in our own zone, trying to, you know, try and play really hard in front of the net and in the corners, trying to get the puck and then, you know, make that quick transition to feed the guys, feed the forwards, you know, and especially like here in Calgary, we have such an amazing forwards. You know, you want to do that real quick and, you know, join the rush as well, you know, help the guys being the fourth man up the ice and, you know, putting a lot of pucks on that from the blue line and, you know, just move the puck, you know, help the forwards, help the team, move the puck, make plays, you know, that's my game.
We heard from your former Vegas and Henderson Silver Knights teammate, Braden Pahal, who is excited to be back with you here in Calgary. And he's excited to see you back there. But do you have any other connections on this Calgary team that maybe you're familiar with coming into this organization?
We played with Peltier. I played with Peltz in Moncton in the queue. We played for 1 year. I really loved it. And he was such a cool guy back then. And, you know, he stayed the same, you know, wearing a genuine, you know, very positive guy, just like always. Love Peltz.
Yeah.
You'll play with Pelsey, then Andrew Doty, our video coach.
Yeah.
He was my coach my first 2 years in Henderson. And so this year he went up to the Flames, and, you know, I was really happy to see him today. And you know, so those guys, you know, Kuzi, definitely know Kuzi, then Igor Sharangovich. He got the same age with those two guys. And, I mean, you know, always nice to see Russian-speaking fellows. And I mean, I kind of knew all the guys, but I never met them personally, like a lot of guys. But, it was just really nice to finally meet everyone and, you know, talk to the guys.
Just a few more with Daniil Miromanov, who is one of the newest members of the Calgary Flames. Had his first practice with the team on Friday after being acquired from Vegas. Okay, you touched on it a little bit. Take us back to Moncton. Take us back to playing with Jacob Peltier. What were did you think this guy was going to become an NHLer when you saw him at a really young age?
100%. I think it was Peltz's rookie year, and I was my 20th year, so it was his first and my last. And definitely, I just still remember, I still remember one pass I made from like from the goal line. He was cherry picking. He scored. I remember that. Yeah, we had a great team. I loved it. And definitely, like, I knew Pelosi was going to be great. He was highly, you know, very highly high prospect coming, you know, from the AAA and, you know, in the queue. And then, you know, kind of following the guys after I left. And then he was always, you know, was ranked pretty high. And I knew he was going to be. He always had that scoring touch. He was always hungry. The thing that I always saw about his game, like, he was always hungry. He was always working. Yes, he always wanted the puck. So, like, And I kind of knew, like, you know, he's going to be successful.
And always with a smile on his face, always that Energizer bunny, right?
That's right, exactly. Always, yeah, he's an amazing guy, amazing personality. He's very humble. He's very, you know, he's always positive, always smiling, man.
I spoke with Braden Pahal on Thursday, and he was raving about you, just about your offensive game, and really excited to be back in the same organization with you. So what are your memories of being on the same team in Henderson with Pahal?
Yeah, it was like, I mean, since day one, it was amazing, you know, being on the team with Picks, and then, you know, the second year he became our captain. He was always a great leader, always a true leader, true captain, amazing guy. You know, we were always good friends. We were always, you know, we had things to talk about on the team. And, you know, I really appreciate him, you know, talking so nicely about me. I can only say the great things about him. He's an amazing guy. I'm a great, really, very good player. And, you know, I think he's proven it here in Calgary.
Two more questions for you. First of all, can you tell us the story behind your number 62?
So my life path number, so that's numerology. My life path number is 8. So for whoever is listening, everybody's got their own life path number. It's your date of birth. So your date, the month, and the year. So if you add every single number, it comes to a number. If it's two number, you add two numbers. So my last path number is 8. So when I just came over to Canada, I was 17, and 1 + 7 = 8. When I went to the queue, I was 62. 6 + 2 = 8. I was in Russia, I was 53. 5 + 3 = 8. So that's kind of the idea. And 62 was always my number, my lucky number, and so that's how it happened. And I'm really, really glad that, you know, I'm able to secure 62 here in Calgary as well. So that's a good sign.
That's very cool. That's really neat. I wanted to make sure that you told that story. And just a
that's
final
right.
question for you, Daniil. You know, you come here to Calgary and you get an opportunity to be with a team fighting for a playoff spot. And I read a quote from you earlier in the week where basically you said, "Hey, how grateful you are that the Flames are taking a chance on you." How much do you want to go out and prove the Flames right and that they made the right choice?
A lot, and I'll do it 100%. I have zero doubt in myself, zero doubt in my abilities, and I'm just gonna, you know, I'm just gonna do my best to add to the game, and, you know, help the team win. That's the most important thing. You know, there's, you know, that's the team. What's important is you know, is on the front of the jersey. So, you know, and hopefully, you know, we're going to be able to make, you know, that run, and, you know, and that it's coming for sure.
Daniil, that's awesome. Really appreciate the time today. Enjoy the rest of the time with the team on the road, and looking forward to maybe seeing you play Saturday against Florida. Going to be a lot of fun. Welcome to the team. Thanks so much for doing this. Hey, that was great.
I appreciate you. Have a good day.
You as well. Thank you, Daniil. Daniil Miromanov is the one of the newest members of the Calgary Flames, acquired as part of the Noah Hanifin trade with the Vegas Golden Knights. He was the player coming back Calgary's way, 26-year-old right-shot defenseman. Should have asked him, and I'm now pissed at myself that I didn't. Should have asked him about moving from forward to defense as well and going in that direction. Now I totally forgot as soon
call
as
him
we
back. Get him back on the line.
Call him back. Right,
yep. Well, just one more question for you. No, he seems pretty excited to join the group, and I think that's going to be a guy that Flames fans really like, just in terms of the personality. You know, you've got him and Kuzmenko and Sharon Govich. All these guys are just so grateful to be here and very easy guys to like. And that's another one that I think is going to be an easy guy to like if you're a Flames fan.
I love that attitude, man. I know the quote he had earlier in the week, and now, you know, similar one with you there about the opportunity and that self-belief, PK. This is my shot, and I'm about to take it, and you're damn right I'm going to be around here for a long time, and I'm going to help this team win. I love every bit of a player, you know, talking like that and having that sort of faith in themselves.
Yeah, 100%. And, like, at the end there about proving that the Flames right, it's like, yes, I want to and I will. Man, wish I had that. Man, that would be that'd be a great way to go about life.
Yeah, I couldn't start today telling you it was going to be a good show.
Right.
Like,
yeah,
if
exactly.
I don't even have that faith in myself, let alone to be a full-time NHLer.
Well, we got off to a great start, too. But it was
you're welcome for that, by the way.
Thanks, Pat.
Don't look at me. I don't work here.
me going up and fixing all your problems and Logan messing everything up.
What are you talking about?
This is a player I'm interested in. Like, obviously, the NHL stats aren't going to blow you away, but as has been pointed out on social media, that's a bit of a tough decor to crack out in Vegas. So this is what the Flames have been targeting, young players who need an opportunity. This is an opportunity, and he at least has the confidence that he'll make the most of it.
What's your life number, PK?
My what?
Your life number. He just explained me.
Oh, life. My life number. Sorry.
I know Pat's is 69, but I'm wondering only yours is.
Okay. Okay. Your mic's going off.
Big 11 guy. That's always been mine because
you don't get to choose your number. He explained how it works. Your life path number. It's you don't get to just choose. I'm an 11 guy. It doesn't work that way.
Okay. Well, I don't know. Haven't found out yet.
I don't know mine either. A few texts on it as well. I had a feeling that people on the text line were gonna like him. We wanted to bring him on yesterday, but he was traveling and with pregame obligations, it just wasn't gonna work out. I wanted to make sure we got him on for you today after his first practice. Shoop says, "What a great personality on that guy." This says, what a great speaker. Sign me up for 20 or more of those guys. This says, after hearing Miramanov speak, might already be my favorite Flame. And this says, this kid sounds like a player. So I do think he's going to be a guy that Flames fans are really a big fan of going forward. He looks like he's going to be a fan favorite for a little while.
According to Google, my life number is 5. So take that. I may... lifelong adventurer. So this isn't off to the greatest of starts, but
Japan. That counts.
I'm excited to see what he can bring to the Flames, and obviously the personality and the confidence shown isn't going to limit that at all. But it's been a little bit busy since that conversation started.
It certainly has been. We are minutes away from the trade deadline. 2024 is coming to a close as far as NHL transactions are concerned. And yes, while we were speaking with Daniil, can tell you a couple moves have happened. We were talking earlier on the show, guys, about everyone in the East is kind of loaded up. What's Tampa going to do besides Anthony Duclair? Well, they've made a move. They've acquired Matt Dumba and a 2025 seventh-round pick for a 2027 fifth-round pick. Heading to the Arizona Coyotes. So no salary retention on Dumba, just a pick swap in 2027 to acquire Matt Dumba. The Penguins and Panthers with a move as well. I believe this is a real person. Ludovic Weber and a conditional 2025 seventh-round pick has been sent in exchange for Magnus Hellberg. Frank Cervalli reporting, Max Pacioretty will not be traded by the Washington Capitals, and the New York Rangers in the process of acquiring Jack Roslovic from the Columbus Blue Jackets, who have had a little bit of a sell-off here in the last couple hours. Another disappointing year in Columbus, PK.
Yeah. Obviously, a lot of turmoil there. General manager gets gone. The coaching thing that happened at the start of the year was a bit complicated, so it has to turn around in Columbus at some point, you would think, but it's not going to be this year. Apparently a mid-round pick going back, and now we're starting to get a tradition on deadline day. This team is done tweets that are coming out. According to Sarah Valley, the Edmonton Oilers' day has concluded. I felt they probably wanted to get something else blue line wise, but don't know how much was out there. So we'll see. Like, Edmonton's still a very good team, but apparently they are done.
So they'll stick with Henrik, Carrick, and Stetcher as their deadline adds. Aaron Portsline, who does a great job covering the Columbus Blue Jackets for The Athletic, saying it's a fourth-round pick heading to Columbus from New York. It'll turn into a third if the Rangers reach the Stanley Cup final.
Yeah, that's interesting. Sorry. There's other things happening now, apparently.
Yes, lots coming down as the moments trickle down. Tomáš Hertl reportedly on his way to the Vegas Golden Knights. That per Chris Johnston and Bob McKenzie.
Nine-team trade where several have to retain
salary. Where we sat there and said that you can't even move Tomáš Hertl at this point. What idiots we are.
Yeah.
Going to have to monitor the draft picks there, guys, because the Vegas Golden Knights and the Flames have a condition on a pick there that's going to get real interesting in the next couple minutes. So perhaps that is our NHL trade deadline bombshell move. Reportedly, Tomáš Hertl on his way to the Vegas Golden Knights. What a move that would be. How are we going to see this thing work out?
Yeah, Hertl is $8 million. Vegas has $5 million in salary cap space. As mentioned before, San Jose is already retained on a couple of players, so they do have the one spot remaining, so could.
How could you be retaining him for 6 years?
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting. That's
looking ahead.
Some salary's got to come out of that, I'm assuming.
The Golden Knights have $15 million in cap space for next season, so this would eat up about half of that and put them at 16 players on the roster.
The Jets respond with another move of their own, guys. They're going to get Colin Miller from the New Jersey Devils, who are selling off more pieces at the NHL trade deadline. Holy mackerel, that Hertl one is still...
That is
in the process of blowing my mind right now. And we've had a couple of NHL insiders on that one now. LeBron, McKenzie, and Johnston all talking right now about Tomáš Hertl to the Vegas Golden Knights, excuse me. Do you have what's left on that deal, PK?
I certainly can try to as quickly as possible. But it's not an insignificant amount. I can tell you that much.
I got it here.
It is 8.1375 until
5 years after this one.
Until 2930.
Wow.
I will be 40 years old when that contract is done.
Tomáš Hertl also has a no move clause.
I guess that is assuming I make it, but yeah.
And looks like he would have to sign off on this, but
I think that'd be a pretty easy sell.
Yeah, it's not bad. It's a short move to a contender. Still waiting to hear what's happening. They're pending a trade call here for Hertl to the Vegas Golden Knights.
Hertl, 34 points in 48 games played this season.
He's currently on IR right now, too.
Yeah.
So some things to figure out
Something. Hey, you know what? I'm feeling a little bit better now. I don't know. I don't know what it is, but
to LTIR. Coming down the final seconds before 1 o'clock, and boy oh boy, does it look like we're gonna have some massive news to talk about here as the trade deadline. Not gonna disappoint this year, PK. You and me were talking about what the hell are we gonna talk about on Friday? Well. Sure looks like we're going to have a massive trade to break down between the Vegas Golden Knights and the San Jose Sharks as we have officially hit 1 p.m. Well done, Peter. You made it to 1.
We did it.
We did it.
Yeah, I will admit, like, it may not sound like it, but I do like to be as prepared as possible. I didn't have Hertl to Vegas in my prep at all.
We just sat here talking about what the hell San Jose doing.
Yeah, it's going to be a long time before they're able to. Oh, no, they just traded it. I am so fascinated to see what the return could pot. Like, it has to be a
firsts.
Yeah. just
multiple
conditions, like calling the Flames, hey, can we make that a 27?
We are waiting to, of course, find out the return on that, because the first round pick that the Vegas Golden Knights do or don't use in 2025 will impact return on the Noah Hanifin trade. So we're waiting to see how this is all going to work out for Tomas Hertl to the Vegas Golden Knights. Why don't we take a break right now? We've hit the 1 p.m. deadline. We'll take a break, settle ourselves in for all the news to trickle in post 1 p.m. But the big news right now, the Vegas Golden Knights reportedly in a trade call to acquire Tomas Hertl from the San Jose Sharks. More live coverage of the trade deadline when we return to the Scotiabank Saddledome here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.